Suns Week and all. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's give a Sunny Side of Sports salute to Eliud Kipchoge and Vivian Cheruiyot, who led a Kenyan sweep of the men's and women's titles Sunday at the London Marathon. The 33-year-old Kipchoge, the reigning Olympic marathon champion, clocked 2 hours, 4 minutes, and 17 seconds. It was his third London title, adding to his wins in the British capital in 2015 and 2016. And 34-year-old Vivian Cheruiyot, the reigning Olympic 5,000 meters champion, won her first London Marathon women's title, crossing the line in 2 hours, 18 minutes, and 31 seconds. The energetic Andy Edwards caught up with both Vivian Cheruiyot and Eliud Kipchoge earlier Monday. Ladies first, take it away, Andy.
We had great marathon racing in London, and indeed, the women's race produced, not only a fantastic result, but really has to be called a surprise and some dramatic racing. And leading the drama was the women's winner, Vivian Cheruiyot of Kenya. Has it really sunk into you, Vivian, that you are now a 2 hours 18 marathon runner? That's a big improvement over 5 minutes from your winning time in Frankfurt last October, and it puts you on a par with anybody else in the women's marathon in the world.
Yeah, I want to say that I'm so happy today because of the race yesterday. It was so fantastic for me to cut to 5 minutes, to come to 2:18. It was unbelievable for me because I was thinking maybe I want to run to 2:20, and to run 2:18, it was so nice for me, and it means a lot to me. So I'm seeing my future is bright ahead.
You talked after the race about how patience paid off for you. You felt that last year in London you were running a little too fast in the first half. Is that a strong asset, you think, in the marathon now, that you can be patient and you can run even splits, and that's going to be good for you in the future?
Yes, I said yesterday that I learned a lot of lessons last year because I was still fresh from track and field. And if you find like track and field, you don't have to leave somebody to go far like that. So I was just closing Mary. And I didn't think that Mary is a different person. He has been running for marathon for a long time. And for me, it was my first time too. Yeah, the other day, we decided with my manager, Ricky Sims, and my husband, that I have to be patient. I have to go with 69 the first half. And I did what they told me. And it works very well. And I trained well since last year because we decided to change some things, and it worked. It worked very nice.
Of course, that's a big difference in from track racing to road running, isn't it? Especially the marathon. That in track you don't really have the experience so much of somebody coming back to you. I mean, you've always got your rival in sight if you are behind, but you've had to learn that kind of psychological strength for the marathon?
Yes, I had to learn about it because marathon is a marathon. It's a long distance. And for me, I used to run like, if I do my training, it was like maybe 20 kilometers, that I can do. But now you have to do a long workout. Everything has changed a lot. So I was thinking that I have to be patient because if you are patient, everything is going to be smoothly, because you cannot come from track and field and just say I want to compete with Mary, I want to run 2:15. That is impossible. You have to come slowly by slowly. Even the child, when he or she is born, he has to go step by step. He has to crawl and go and have to, yeah.
That's a great analogy. A baby, a child, has to first learn to crawl and then run. Well, you are certainly running. I'm wondering whether the Olympic marathon 2020 in Tokyo, whether that was part of your plans before the race, but certainly now, given what you've run, 218, and you talk about 215 in the world record, but Tokyo in 2 years, the Olympic marathon, has that become a target for you now?
I don't have any plans about 2019 and 2020. It's going to come automatically because I cannot say what is ahead of me by now. When it comes 2019, I'll plan what is going to be happen on 2019 and then 2020. So I don't want to say much about the 2020, but I hope to be in the team for the Olympics for marathon.
Well, Vivian Cheruiyot, many congratulations for such a wonderful performance to win the women's title in London 2018. Thank you, Vivian.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
And thanks to the energetic Andy Edwards for that interview with Vivian Cheruiyot, the London Marathon women's champion. I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Energetic Andy also spoke with Olympic marathon champion Eliud Kipchoge, who won his third London title on Sunday. Once again, here's Andy.
Well, every marathon fan in London was privileged to see great races yesterday, and we certainly were privileged to see Eliud Kipchoge win his third London title, 9 marathon wins for the Olympic champion in total, and what a race it was. Tough conditions, and yet again, Kipchoge came through as the number one. You've had so many great performances. Given the hard conditions, the very high quality field, where do you put that amongst your performances to win in London 204.17 and your third London title?
Oh, I think winning in London for the third time, actually, is a big achievement, very big achievement. That's a massive achievement, I can say. And yesterday was history. I won London for the third time and ran the second fastest time in London, and also won World Apport Marathon Majors. So it's a massive, huge achievement yesterday.
We are in the middle of what could be called the Olympic cycle. I mean, you're the Olympic champion in Rio 2016, but Tokyo is coming fast, 2 years away. At 33, do you have every plan, and does you and your coach have every plan to be on that start line in Tokyo to defend and with the aim of retaining your Olympic marathon title?
I think in Tokyo, I'd love to be in the start line, awfully, yes.
At 33, I mean, I saw you coming onto the stage here. We're talking just after the press conference in London. I mean, it's reassuring to know every marathon runner has some weariness in their legs. But do you recover any differently now after a big race like this to a few years back when you were less experienced in the marathon?
I recover more faster now. Take some massage and cold bath, hot bath, and try to relax as much as possible. And that's the way to recover fast.
And you don't find, with all the training you've done, that the body aches a little more? You're finding you're recovering perhaps even better than ever?
Yes, I'm recovering better, so I have no problem with the good training, and it's all is well.
Well, that's something every mass runner, not just yesterday, 40,000 or so, can take to heart. Eliud Kipchoge, there you are, advice to the Olympic champion. Eliud, many congratulations, and we indeed look forward to seeing you on that start line in Tokyo in the Olympic marathon. Great stuff. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
And thanks to the energetic Andy Edwards for his interviews in London. I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Elsewhere in African athletics, Moroccan runner Saladin Bounassar won the Vienna City Marathon in Austria on Sunday. Bounassar raced side by side with Ismail Bushendich before leaving the Kenyan behind in the final 2 miles. Bounassar finished in a personal best time of 2 hours, 9 minutes, and 29 seconds. Bushendich was second in 2 hours, 10 minutes, and 3 seconds. And another Kenyan, Samuel Mwai, was third in 2 hours, 11 minutes, and 8 seconds. This was Bunasser's third marathon victory in 3 years, but first outside China, after winning in Guangzhou in 2016 and Beijing last year. Meanwhile, the troubles continued for world record holder Dennis Kimeto of Kenya in Vienna. Dennis dropped out of the race before the 16-mile mark. Hampered by various injuries, Kimeto has failed to finish a marathon since placing ninth in London 2 years ago. And Kimeto hasn't won a race since setting the world record of 2 hours, 2 minutes, and 57 seconds in Berlin in 2014. In the women's race in Vienna, Kenya's Nancy Kiprop won for the second year in a row, finishing in a personal best time of 2 hours, 24 minutes, and 18 seconds. Melisech Segaye of Ethiopia was the second woman overall in 2 hours, 29 minutes, and 51 seconds. And Celestine Chepchirchir of Kenya was third in 2 hours, 30 minutes, and 39 seconds. I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Uganda's Commonwealth Games team recently returned home after winning 6 medals, 3 gold, 1 silver, and 2 bronze at the International Sports Festival in Australia. The Ugandan athletes received a warm welcome back, as we hear now from reporter Magumi Davis Rakawinj in the capital, Kampala.
Hundreds of fans, mainly from Eastern Uganda's Sebe region, where the majority of medalists hail from, came to receive the athletes at Entebbe International Airport. Clad in white t-shirts and posters of the star athletes, they sang songs thanking the runners for the exploit at the 21st Commonwealth Games in Gold Coast, Australia. Philip Chebet says he spent 3 days traveling to come to Kampala and cheer up the athletes on their arrival.
We were excited. Up to now, the excitement is there. We are going to organize a mega party at home. We traveled the whole night, basically to receive our people and celebrate and show the world that we are happy.
Another fan, Michael Chebet, a local leader, says he was equally pleased with the athletes' exploits. He singles out double medalist Joshua Cheptegei, who won both 10,000 and 5,000 meters races at the Games.
The number which we have left behind there is even bigger than this, and they were all ready to come, and they were very happy. They are also going to wait for this sun to come to the soil, and they will welcome in a different style.
After the airport, the medalists were driven in a motorcade in open roofed vehicles as they waved the fans who stood by the road to have a glimpse of the stars. With 6 medals, Uganda finished 15th on the medals table and was the 4th in Africa, just behind South Africa, which was 6th, Nigeria 9th, and neighbors Kenya on the 14th position. Stella Chesang won gold in 10,000 meters race. She says it was hard work that brought her and her teammates victory.
It was not easy to win, but because of just the training I have done, so it was easy. The girls, we were together in Algeria, we were also together in Commonwealth, so I was thinking they are taking. But after like 5 laps remaining, I see my body was still strong.
Solomon Mutai also won silver in men's marathon.
It was pain, but at the end it was happiness. My plans now is to train hard so that to focus for World Championship next year and Olympic.
Besides athletics, boxer Juma Miro also won bronze at the Games.
I'm very happy because I won a medal, but that was not my goal. My goal, because I wanted a gold medal, but I got this bronze medal because of injury. But those guys were not so strong like me because I had power and I was taller than them, so I had that advantage of taking gold. But I got injury on my second fight in the first round. Okay, it's cool because I'm happy. My first international, in my first international tournament, I I got a medal.
It's the first time for Uganda since 1970 to win 3 gold medals at the Commonwealth Games. The 3 gold medals then came from boxing. The athletes were yesterday hosted by Ugandan President Yoweri Kaguta Museveni, who promised to pay each medal winner a monthly stipend ranging from $300 to $1,400 for bronze and gold medal winners, respectively. For the Sony Side of Sports, I am Mugume, Davis Rwakarinj in Kampala, Uganda.
Thanks, Mugume. I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Joining us now with African cricket and African football news is reporter Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria. Good evening, Samson.
Good evening to you, Sonny. Ghana finished top of the World 2020 Africa Qualifier A standings after they beat host Nigeria by 4 wickets at the Tafabalewa Square Cricket Oval in Lagos. Kuben Pele is the ICC tournament director.
We are laying the foundation for facilities, we're laying the foundation for coaching, umpiring, and we're also looking at structures which will take a little bit of time whereby to set up a junior or mini cricket program that follows into junior cricket, into senior cricket, into university cricket, senior provincial cricket, A cricket, A team cricket, and then finally national team. So there's a lot going on at the moment, but we can't rush it. And it's a process that will take time.
And now to football news. The draws for the group phase of the Total CAF Confederations Cup 2018 took place at the weekend. East African clubs, Rayon Sports of Rwanda, Young Africans of Tanzania and Gor Mahia of Kenya were all drawn in the same group. The trio, which has Rayon and Gor Mahia as first-timers at the group stage, are joined in Group D by Algerian giants USM Alger. The draw conducted by CAF Secretary General Amil Fahmy saw former African champions ASEC Mimosas of Cote d'Ivoire, Raja Club Athletic of Morocco and AS Vita of DR Congo drawn in Group A, completed by Ghana champions Aduana Stars. Group B has RS Barzani of Morocco, Al Masry of Egypt, UD Songo of Mozambique and Al Hilal of Sudan, with two-time African champions Enyimba of Nigeria, Debouton, Williamsville of Cote d'Ivoire, Kara of Congo and Juliba of Mali, housed in Group C. Staying with football news, former Tottenham Hotspur manager Christian Gross has been named as the new head coach of Egyptian giants Zamalek. Christian Gross becomes the club's 24th coach since Murtada Mansour took over as Zamalek president in 2014. I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
Thanks, Samson. I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. In African boxing, Ghanaian super bantamweight Isaac Dogbe is in the eastern U.S. state of Pennsylvania, where he's getting ready for his April 28th world title fight against American Jesse Magdaleno. The 26-year-old Magdaleno will be defending his WBO championship against the 23-year-old Dogbe, who's the interim WBO title holder. Our friend in Accra, Kwabena Quicksilver Ofori, filed this report on Dogbe's preparations.
The WBO interim super bantamweight champion, Isaac Dogbe, after going through intensive training in Ghana to face Jesse Magdaleno, left Accra to finalize preparation in the United States. Team Dogbe has pitched camp in Harrisburg, and the showdown will be staged in Philadelphia or in Pennsylvania. In a telephone chat with Isaac's trainer and father, Paul Dogbe, Isaac is in high spirits and his son is ready for the April 28th bout.
Oh yes, Isaac is ready. We are in Harrisburg now. We're training at a place called Gold's Gym. The people in Harrisburg, they are very, very welcoming. We're very comfortable. It's a wonderful place to be in and to be fighting at. Come 28th of April, you're going to see a different beast altogether. You know, Isaac, I know for sure he's going to knock Magdaleno out. So, we're ready. And we want the Ghanaians that we thank them for supporting us. We will not let you guys down, and we'll bring the title home.
Meanwhile, Ghanaian boxing fans are in prayers, wishing Isaac a clean victory on April 28th. For the Sunny Side of Sports, Kwabnafori in Accra.
Thanks, Kwabena. I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Just ahead, an update on the National Basketball Association playoffs. But first, this important message from a former NBA star.
This is Dikembe Mutombo. I am from Africa. Malaria kills thousands of children every day. Don't let your child be one of them. Make sure they sleep under a treated mosquito net. Beating malaria is like winning at basketball. You need to get to the net.
The National Basketball Association playoffs resume later Monday night with games in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and Salt Lake City, Utah. In Minneapolis, the Minnesota Timberwolves will host the Houston Rockets at their Target Center Arena. The T-Wolves trail this best-of-seven first-round series 2-1. And in Salt Lake City, the Utah Jazz are at home against the Oklahoma City Thunder. Utah leads this series 2-1. On display this evening will be two of the most dynamic guards in the NBA, James Harden of the Rockets and Russell Westbrook of the Oklahoma City Thunder. Harden has been picked by more than a few basketball experts to win the NBA's Most Valuable Player Award this season. The results of that trophy voting will be released very soon. And Westbrook won the NBA trophy last season. My pick is James Harden. I think he will probably win that MVP trophy in dominating fashion. In NBA results Sunday, the Milwaukee Bucks edged the visiting Boston Celtics 104-102. To even that playoff series at 2-1. Giannis Antetokounmpo scored 27 points, including tipping in the go-ahead basket with 5 seconds left in the game. The San Antonio Spurs avoided elimination with a 103-90 victory over the defending NBA champion Golden State Warriors. The Warriors still have a commanding 3-1 lead in the series, and Golden State will be looking to wrap things up with a win at home in Oakland, California. Let's give a Sunny Side of Sports shout-out for longtime San Antonio Spurs teammates Manu Ginobili and Tony Parker. They made history on Sunday with that win over the Warriors. The result gives them 132 wins together. That's playoff wins, more than any other tandem in league history. Not surprisingly, given their many years together, the previous record was held by Tony Parker and the now retired Tim Duncan. They had 126 playoff wins together, but Tim Duncan, one of the great players in league history, but that award for most playoff wins now by Manu Ginobili and Tony Parker. More playoff results in Indianapolis, Indiana. The Cleveland Cavaliers scored a 104-100 victory over the host Indiana Pacers. That series is now tied at 2-1. LeBron James scored 32 points for the Cavaliers. And right here in Washington, my beloved Washington Wizards defeated the Toronto Raptors 106-98. That series is now tied at 2-1 with Game 5 on Wednesday night in Toronto, Canada. And that wraps up the April 23rd edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer John Dryden. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
The United States is committed to maintaining its long-standing position as a global leader on humanitarian issues. We understand the importance and necessity of humanitarian assistance, even as we work to preclude the crises that spawn the need for assistance, said Deputy Secretary of State John Sullivan. By helping those who bear the brunt of war, natural disaster, or the failure of good governance and policy, we preserve that chance for a more prosperous and more peaceful world for generations to come. The United States is the single largest donor of international humanitarian assistance. In 2017 alone, we delivered more than $8 billion in life-saving aid around the world. Nonetheless, the need for humanitarian aid is ever-increasing and changing. Just a decade ago, 80% of our humanitarian assistance went to victims of natural disaster. Now, natural disaster relief accounts for only about 20%. 80% of aid goes to victims of disasters caused by humans. Much of that is due to carnage inflicted on civilian populations by terrorist groups such as ISIL and Al-Qaeda, or due to vicious conflicts such as those in Libya, Syria, Iraq, and Yemen. What's clear is that one government or one entity can't tackle these issues alone. As we continue this humanitarian leadership, we will also continue to emphasize the importance of coordinated, effective, and efficient international responses, as well as the need for other governments and other actors in the private sector to step in to contribute to humanitarian efforts, said Deputy Secretary of State Sullivan. A global response with increasing financial support of multiple nations and groups is essential to effectively moving more help to the many who are in need and to ensure a greater regional stability across the globe, he declared. Nonetheless, despite our best efforts, most of these crises, conflicts, and natural disasters are not going to stop anytime soon. Most will ultimately require a diplomatic solution, results that we are working toward each and every day. But, said Deputy Secretary of State Sullivan, until those solutions arrive, you can count on the United States to help everyone where we can to alleviate suffering and save lives.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
I'm Lino Mudu, host of Health Chat. April 23rd to 29th is African Vaccination Week. The theme, Vaccines Work, Do Your Part. Next week on Health Chat, we will have the latest updates in immunization and look at what is being done on the African continent. For your questions, email us at healthchat@voanews.com. You can also reach us by phone to leave a message or to participate in the program. We will call you back. Dial the international code for the United States, then dial 202-205-9942. The U.S. country code is 1. Dial 45 after you hear the station ID. Health Chat, this Tuesday at 1730 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, join us for a special broadcast on autism, hosted by VOA health correspondent Lenore Madu. She will host a panel of experts to demystify the developmental disorder.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
Hi, this is Lori London. Tune in to the Voice of America's newscast. Every hour on the top of each hour, 24/7. Listen to our news and correspondent reports from around the world. VOA is your trusted source for news and information.